Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Redemption Song, the anthem that became immortal. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, he wrote it as his body began to break, but his spirit had never been more whole. Redemption Song wasn't just another track in Bob Marley's discography. It was the final chapter of a man who had seen too much, survived too much, and still believed. By the late 1970s, Marley was changing, not just as an artist, but as a man. He was quieter, still intense, but different. The prophet was becoming a poet. The rebel was becoming a messenger of mercy. And then, in 1977, came the news that would shake his world. Bob Marley was diagnosed with cancer. What started as a wound on his toe, something he believed could heal, was something deeper, more fatal. It was melanoma, and he refused amputation, choosing instead to keep the foot that kept him grounded to his African roots. By 1979, he knew. The pain was growing. The clock was ticking. And so he wrote. He didn't write for radio. He didn't write for record sales. He wrote for freedom. And from that pain, that knowing, came Redemption Song. It wasn't a reggae beat. It wasn't a protest chant. It was just Bob and a guitar. No drums. No bass. Just words. Truth. Soul. The opening line. A history lesson. Old pirates, yes, they rob I. He wasn't just talking about the past. He was talking about Babylon. How empires robbed Africa, enslaved her children, and rebranded her pain as history. He was talking about the system that tried to silence him, to exploit him, to use his voice for everything except the truth. But he didn't write this song to attack. He wrote it to free. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. That line wasn't Marley's alone. He borrowed it from the great Pan-Africanist Marcus Garvey, whose words had echoed through Jamaican soil decades before Bob was born. But Bob didn't just quote Garvey. He breathed life into those words. He turned philosophy into melody, revolution into reflection. And in doing so, he gave the world something eternal. Redemption Song wasn't for dancing. It was for healing. It was the prayer of a man who had nothing left to prove, but still everything left to give. He performed it stripped down, pure. You could hear the weariness in his voice, the cracks, the fire still flickering, but you could also hear something else. Peace. He had seen war. He had seen betrayal. He had seen his people suffer, his body weaken, his fame grow heavy. And still he forgave. Still he believed. Still he sang. He gave us a song for the moments when the fight feels like too much, when the world feels too dark, when we wonder if we can still be whole in a system that profits from our breaking. He gave us a song for redemption, not just from chains, but from silence, from fear, from forgetting who we are. Bob Marley didn't just leave us an anthem. He left us a mirror, to see ourselves, to question ourselves, to free ourselves. And when he passed in 1981, just 2 years after writing Redemption Song, it wasn't the bullet wounds or the cancer that remained. It was the song. It played at his funeral. It plays at protests. It plays in classrooms and prisons and homes where hope flickers like candlelight. Because that song, it didn't die. It lives in every voice that sings for justice, every foot that marches toward freedom, every soul that dares to believe in healing. Redemption Song wasn't the end of Bob Marley's story. It was the beginning of ours.